Hey everyone, I'm Rob Espero with the Viola Volley Podcast, and we got an edition of College Volleyball Weekly, and I've got a special guest from the Wright Coast representing the Florida State Seminoles. We have a 5'9", she's a right side, I believe, junior, senior, we were debating this, from Tallahassee, Florida, because COVID's really messed a lot of things up. So welcome Madison Fitzpatrick, or Mads, I've been told. She's a broadcast journalism major and a communications and media major as well. Thank you for coming on the show.
Yay, thank you for having me.
Well, this is technically the initiation show of College Volleyball Weekly for what will be the 2021 season. We're being very hopeful for that. But we wanted to talk about your Florida State team, which has been making waves since the start of collegiate beach volleyball. So let me throw some questions your way to get us started here. Hopefully they're not too softball for you, but I think you're pretty comfortable on the camera and with a microphone. So I'm pretty confident you're just going to crush this.
Oh, thank you. No pressure.
Right. Hey, and due to my recon on you, a repetitive theme I keep coming across is the special friendship you and your partner, fellow junior / senior, Elena Chacon, had. What makes your relationship so special on and off the court?
Yes. Well, I met her for the first time our freshman year in college, and we were roommates, and we've been roommates ever since. We have a really special bond. We just push each other, try to make each other better people. It's always fun when we're together. And then we got the opportunity to play together our sophomore year, and that kind of just strengthened our bond that we had. So now we're really strong on and off the court together. She's one of my dear friends for life, for sure.
Now, without a doubt, with Coach Brooke Niles and the deeply talented roster the Seminoles had, at the start of the 2020 season, looked like FSU was going to once again threaten the top of the CCSA and vie for a national championship. What was your outlook for that team?
Yes, so we had taken all the steps that we needed to take to win the conference championships and hopefully that national championship. So my outlook for that 2020 team was just, we were so deeply stacked and we had done everything that we needed to do. So it was absolutely heartbreaking when COVID hit, because we were really prepared to win a national championship.
Now, although it was a shortened season, Florida State finished with a 12-1 overall dual record. That is amazing given the kind of competition that was happening across the nation last year. Your lone loss was at USC on March 1st, right before everything just closed down. But they squeaked out a narrow 3-2 victory at the Hilton Head Invitational. But what's amazing about your season is the Noles only dropped a total of 6 sets in 2020. What made your team as potent as it was during the 2020 season?
Ooh, good word, potent. I think just we're such grinders, our team. Like, we put forth as much effort as we possibly can. So I think just the work ethic of our team is what made us so potent, as you say. That loss versus USC was heartbreaking. I played as hard as I could. I had an absolute blast. USC always plays us really well. And I knew that if we kept playing for the rest of the season, we would probably beat them in the end. So I was really looking forward to that chance to avenge our loss. But then COVID.
Well, that, it is a crazy season, being that especially from the AVCA ranking standpoint, because you had the same 4 teams pushing the number 1-2 rank the first weeks of the season. Well, I guess it only ended up being like 12 weeks of the season, but it was a constant, the same 4 teams rotating into the top 4 spots. So it was so entertaining. Now, you'd mentioned you'd played as hard as you could at that Hilton Head Invitational. And from what I can gather, and if I remember correctly, the dual deciding match was at yours in the number 2 pairs, and it was a nail-biting 13-15 loss. Can you take me through that intense matchup and who you were playing, just for our viewers and listeners who didn't get a chance to watch it, because we're hoping to get more beach volleyball covered across the nation. And it's exciting when you get to these duels and you get a dual deciding match in on your court. So take us through that match.
I absolutely love like the pressure of being the deciding match. I think I thrive under that pressure. I didn't really pull through that one, but I was playing Alice. She was a transfer, a big, tall blocker, and we were playing USC's 2s, which is Sammy Slater, who I grew up playing against in California, and Kylie, I believe, is her name.
Kyla Doig.
Yes, yes. So really competitive game. They're both very physical players. And Alice is really tall. And I just feel like we were neck and neck the entire time. I think one of the scores went up really high into the 20s. So it was just really fun. Like both teams were grinding it out. And that's always the best when you get that sort of competitive nature. And then add on everyone coming to watch our court. I mean, I had an absolute blast.
Yeah. Oh, it's infectious when it comes down to a dual deciding match. All your teammates, all the fans, all eyes on your court. And you have to admit that that intensity level kicks up like 100-fold.
Oh, 100%. I get way more. I throw sand a little bit more whenever it comes to watch. You know, it just brings it up a little bit.
Nice. You don't go around flexing your biceps whenever you put the ball away every time?
No, I should stop. Maybe I should start.
Or swinging the tomahawk, right? Like the
Yes.
So let's go look at your individual performance for 2020. Not a bad season for you being paired with Alice Zeman. Is that the correct way? I was looking for a pronunciation guide, but you went 8-3 and then you stepped on board with freshman who we talked about earlier, Maddie Anderson, whom you went 2-0 with. What were thoughts on your personal performance during that season?
That was, I think, a really big growing season for me. I was working some things technically. So I think that's why I had a few losses here and there, but I felt like I was really getting into my own pretty much right when the season got canceled. Like Maddie and I got put together towards the end, we started doing really well. So it was really upsetting because I felt like I was just really like becoming like playing to my peak. As mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now I noticed that change. Well, we didn't know it was going to be a shortened season, but you played two duels with Maddie and ended up going 2-0. And she'd actually come from a partnership with Kate Privett, who was 10-1 in the number three spot. What prompted that change, being that it's not like you and Alice weren't successful? And obviously Maddie with one loss, it's not like she wasn't, you know, not successful either. But it seemed like an odd time for a change, being that both of you had proven a winning resume so far in 2020.
Yes, we feel like on our FSU team, everyone can pretty much play with everyone. We have a long off season where coach tries out a bunch of pairs. So I feel like that switch up was just seeing if something worked better than it did before, even though things were working out great. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's nice because each person on our team can pretty much play with everyone else. We have that great team chemistry. So I think that switch up was just a way just for coach to like check things out and see.
Right. And then, of course, was it 12 days later, the entire nation shut down. So I think it was a change that did it.
I know. The whole thing is my fault.
Yeah. Now, hopefully, let's move on to this 2021 season. Now, you've been in the league now, third season, fourth season, whatever you want to call it, with COVID and the reset or the redo year. But what top teams do you see vying for the top spot in the CCSA?
In the CCSA, us and LSU usually go head-to-head. They're our biggest competition in the CCSA. FAU, Georgia State, Stetson, they all play us really hard. But I think our top competitor in the CCSA is LSU.
Now, and this is coming from a very West Coast perspective, because I try to track what's going on there, but I'm seeing more teams come up and really compete at higher levels, like Florida Atlantic, Florida Gulf Coast University, South Carolina. Do you find that the talent is getting, is spreading in that conference? And what do you think is causing that?
Oh, totally. I think the talent is definitely spreading. It's not so much California heavy schools that are like really dominating. I feel like a lot of our East Coast teams are really getting up there. I think the game is just developing at such rapid paces. Like these younger girls are so advanced now. So I think just the more these teams recruit and the deeper their rosters become, it becomes really competitive for all of us, which is, it makes the whole thing way more fun.
Well, you actually alluded to one of your responses, but you're familiar with Sammy Slater. You played with them here on the East Coast. How do you, see each other? Are you playing in tournaments nationally, or are they traveling to different AVP Nexts? Or how do you guys make that connection and come to know each other, being that your career, technically, you end up competing against each other, but you know each other?
Totally. A lot of us grew up playing against each other, like in California, you know, the little national championship things that they did there and the JOs. So I used to play with Brooke Bauer a lot. Mm-hmm. I love making those little connections with people along the way, because then you grow up and you end up playing them in college, you know, so that's how we all knew each other, is California, pretty much in high school.
Gotcha. Well, let's jump over to your Florida State team. And hopefully Coach Niles won't mind you talking about your team here, but can you share about your 2021 team?
Yes, we have so many strong returners, so many strong freshmen, and two really strong transfers. So I'm really looking forward to our season this year. We have two really big physical transfers, Tori Van Winden and Sydney Wetterstrom. It's a hard one. Okay. Yep. And then we have a lot of really talented freshmen that push us really hard. So all in all, we could basically make like three really strong teams of 10. Because
this year. Well, you know, obviously I'm very familiar with Tori Van Winden. She went to Cal Poly, which is in the Big West Conference, which is where I work all my matches. So, but yeah. That was quite a score for Brooke Niles, a 6'3 physical blocker with a very heavy arm. Can you talk a little bit about the other transfer that came in?
Yeah. Sydney played indoor. I'm not perfectly sure where, but she is so physical. She squats insane amounts of weight. She's so strong in the weight room and such an athlete, and she really pushes us at practice, and she's a huge component to our team now.
Well, it seems that Brooke is able to get some really good talent, at least from a youth standpoint. Who are some of the freshmen that we could see really impacting the program, if not this season, in the seasons to come?
Mm-hmm. You know Caitlin Moon. Mm-hmm. She is fantastic. I love her energy and her spirit. She's a fighter, very competitive. Caitlin Godwin is mm-hmm. an undersized freshman who is just an absolute baller, like jumps through the roof, really, really good, pushes us really hard at practice. And Raylan White is very, very strong as well, like so smart. All these girls are so smart for being so young.
That's crazy, because seeing all those junior tournaments a couple summers ago, I saw all these names competing, and they're always in some kind of medal round. So, I mean, Brooke is doing some great recruiting, no doubt.
Totally. She recruits very high class. It's awesome.
Well, we've talked about some of the new transfers. We've talked about the new people, new freshmen that are coming in, or first years if you're PC. But what about some of the people who are currently on the roster? You can drop your own name if you're really high on yourself. I mean, you are a baller, so.
Elena for sure. Molly is incredible. She's quiet and deadly. She's amazing. Sarah Putt and Peyton Caffrey are coming back, which is mm-hmm. awesome. They're both super strong seniors. They lead our team so well. We have a team of so many girls, and honestly, I could name all of them, and they're all such huge components.
Well, it's some good stuff for the 2021 season. We're hoping that it's a launch. I'm being very optimistic and hopeful, just because we know that the ball is going to be so exciting to watch, even on the CCSA. But when the teams come together at the annual East Meets West in Manhattan Beach, such a fun tournament. I was hoping to get a chance to see you guys last year, but obviously that didn't quite work out for pandemic reasons. And hey, this is Madison Fitzpatrick, or Mads Fitzpatrick, of Florida State University. And this was our segment of College Volleyball Weekly. I give a little preview of the 2021 Florida State Seminole team. We'll be right back in just a moment. We're going to take a little break right there. Hey, welcome back, everyone. I'm Rob Asparo with the Viral Volley Podcast, and we just finished an edition of College Volleyball Weekly, and I thought I'd take advantage of this incredible Florida State University Seminole Collegiate Beach stud, Madison Fitzpatrick. Mads, I want to call her Mad Dog, just because it's so just fitting, but she doesn't look mad, and she's not a dog, so, but we know she has game. Hey, Madison, thanks for coming on and for joining me on the Viral Volley Podcast.
Of course. Thank you for having me, and I like Mad Dog.
It's probably all tattooed on your shoulder somewhere, huh?
Totally.
The tattoo that your parents didn't know you had. No. Oh, no. Okay, there we go. All right. So, hey, in our next section, I'm calling it the looking back in the tidbit section, just because, you know, doing my research on your career and checking out things that you've done, you've done quite a bit, but in ways that make you such a unique athlete, person on the court. So definitely wanted to touch on that at least a little bit, so our listeners and viewers can get a sense of who Mads or the Mad Dog is. So, all right. Hey, first, once the threat of the pandemic started taking hold of the world last March, closing down virtually everything, including sports, what was your initial response to not being able to complete the season and compete for a national championship?
I was absolutely heartbroken, to put it lightly. You know, you train so hard for 6-7 months, and I just have one goal in mind, and it's that national championship, and all of us did. One goal. And so to know that that goal has been taken away and there's nothing we can do about it, it's absolutely heartbreaking.
Now, from everything that I can see that I've found on you, I mean, you seem to be the light of the Seminole team, or the locker room at least. But I mean, everything I've been finding is you're a light. You've been such a positive influence to a lot of people. How are you there for your team during this time?
Thank you. That's very kind of you to say. So after this whole thing happened, I kind of just told the team that we just need to have perspective on the whole thing. I'm huge on perspective. I think it's such an integral part of life. But I told them it's not always about the destination, as we can tell from what happened. The journey brings like so many little victories. And this just shows us how imperative it is to find happiness in the process and to not always be focused on the future, but to find happiness in this journey that we went through. So it was kind of like a learning lesson. And I made sure to keep reminding the team that.
And did you have a big group powwow, or did you address each of your teammates individually? I mean, what was that like during that time? Because I know that there are stories of teams that just had one big weep or cry, you know, just the team and some of the coaching staff. But what did that look like for the Seminoles?
Yeah, that's basically what happened. Coach brought us into the locker room and told us the news, and everyone just cried and we all hugged because, I mean, the only people we could lean on was each other, basically. I think it really brought us all closer. We're a really tight-knit family now, and we always have been, but yeah.
Now, what did Coach Niles tell you and the girls, you know, I guess shortly after everything was announced that things weren't going to be happening for 2020?
She told us that she was really proud of us. She remained pretty positive, which was very impressive, but she's always so calm and cool and collected. So she said she's proud of us, and she wanted us to use what happened as fuel to our fire for next year.
Now, you know, it's interesting because some of the other pieces that I found on you, or the information, is that when Coach Niles was hired in 2015, it looked like you may have re-entered the recruitment process, and you know, you'd already committed to Florida State, but reopened your recruitment and decided to come back. What made you do that?
So I had to reopen my recruitment because I lost my verbal commitment when the other coaches left. So right after that, I talked to Coach Niles, and she's like, I want to recruit all my own girls, so I'm going to do this the right way. Mm-hmm. Just because you're committed once doesn't mean you're still committed. So I met her, and everyone who meets Coach Niles just completely loves her. She is the kindest soul, and she has this type of energy that's contagious. Like, she has big goals, and seeing that, I wanted to be with her and join her in these big goals and help her achieve them. And she has a really impressive reputation, so that was easy for me to get on board with her. And then I just loved FSU ever since I was a little girl. The energy, the passion that everyone has for sports and school is just so infectious at FSU. So, yeah.
Well, it's you're seeing Coach Niles play as an indoor athlete. I mean, she was a fiery player. And seeing how she's calm and collective on the sidelines is such a paradox. But she obviously is a good coach and a good mentor, because I see your team responding to her instruction, her teaching and mentoring in such a unique way. Can you talk a little bit about her coaching?
Mm-hmm. We all love the way she coaches. She gives you really good detailed instruction. And then she also provides you with that energy and that push that you need. You know, it's like a tough love kind of thing. And she's the type of person that you want to impress. So, like, I want to play good to make her proud. And I think everyone on our team feels that, which is awesome.
Wow. Well, now going a little into the COVID time in our society, one of the things that caught was you wrote about training during COVID and the process and how you found happiness on the journey is, I think, the exact quote. Talk a little bit about that.
So it was really, I'm a big writer. I love writing, interviewing people, broadcasting, but for this case, it was writing. And writing is a big coping mechanism for me. And so when everything shut down and we couldn't play anymore, I turned to writing. And I wrote like a little essay about how important it is to find joy in the journey because of examples like this, where the destination is no longer an option. So you're kind of forced to take a step back and realize what's important and what's not important. So like all those little locker room powwows that we had as a team, those are important. Like the little connections made along the way, the little victories. It's nice because now I feel like I'm more thankful for them.
Right. Well, it's really cool seeing how you and I can see how you stepped up in, and taken the mantle of leadership for the team. And one of the quotes that I found from Coach Niles was, quote, there are multiple sides to Madison. When you meet her, she is so bubbly. And you think, how is this person competitive? But when she does play, she has another side of her that gets really fiery. She is a very hard worker. She wants to be perfect at everything, but understands that no one is perfect. And that's from Coach Brooke Niles. How did your personal, how did you respond to hearing her say that about you?
Oh my gosh. When I read that quote, I was absolutely touched. That is kind of her to say. And that really means a lot to me that she thinks highly of me. I really appreciated that quote.
And of course, I got to pull another quotable just because I thought it was so incredible to see. This is from NCAA's Volleyball's Facebook. And it is a quote, I see silver linings in everything and I feel very blessed to be where I am. Where do you find the source of what makes Mads Mads?
Ooh, that is a fantastic question. I definitely feel innately happy, which is amazing. I definitely attribute a lot of that to God and my belief in God. And then also I just have amazing family and friends. Like I've been really, really blessed throughout life. So I think I just grab that. That's like my source of happiness is just how blessed I have been through life.
It definitely shows and you radiate so much light. And one of the things that caught my eye, obviously being in the business that we're in, is your plans after your seminal career, I guess, would involve broadcast journalism in sports. Is that correct? And can you talk about that and your passion?
Mm-hmm, totally. Ever since I was a little girl, I've loved being in front of the camera and talking to people. It doesn't make me nervous at all. So this past year, I got the opportunity to be the ACC in-game host for some baseball and basketball games, in high-pressure live situations. And so I did that, and I realized just how much I actually have a passion for this. So the goal after this would be be either a broadcast journalist for a sports team or maybe like host a show. The end goal would be like a Good Morning America type of thing, but that's just big and out there. So
a Robin Roberts type effect?
Yes.
I thought you'd have to throw some professional beach volleyball in the mix there.
Oh, I know. I really am going to miss it. And who knows? Who knows what the future brings?
Right. You know, one of the quotes I did find, you're going to like this one. It makes a claim that you are easily the best dancer on the team. Do you have any new victory moves to throw down come the 2021 season?
Oh my goodness. Well, we actually get to play our 2021 season. I will dance for like 24 hours straight. That would be absolutely so exciting. Who said that about me?
It was from your interview.
Oh, about me. So yeah, no, I'm actually probably not that good. I just like to inflate myself a little bit there. No, just I don't like think.
Dangle a carrot in front of people and say, look, see what game they got? Teasing them out. Well, that's all great stuff. And, you know, I love the fact that you have a very well-rounded personality to lead the team. And you have humor, you have seriousness, you have fieriness. You know, looking forward to this season, who do you think are going to be at the end at Gulf Shores? Some top teams you're looking at.
Mm-hmm. We have so many, there's so many strong teams now. The game just keeps getting bigger and bigger. Definitely USC, UCLA, us, LSU, Pepperdine. I love Brooke Bauer. Shout out to Brooke Bauer, Pepperdine. And there's always just other teams that just sneak their way in there, and everyone is so good and everyone plays everyone so hard. It's honestly a toss up. There's like three or four spots that who knows who's going to take it, which is really exciting because it provides that incentive to grind even harder.
Right. Well, hey, this is Mads Fitzpatrick, or Madison Fitzpatrick, of Florida State University. Finished the season, I believe, at number three off the top of my head from last year with only one loss on the year. But hey, gosh, with a warm and welcoming personality and a radiant countenance, it's safe to say that, Mads, you truly exist in a sunshine state because you glow as loud as your smile, and it's great seeing you compete on the court. I really appreciate you taking time on the Viral Volley podcast and talking about your team in the last few months of this time in history.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you. That was such a sweet compliment. Thank you for having me. It's an absolute honor.
Oh, thanks for coming on.